Arkansas. Learn more at Chenal.com.
All right, 11:08. Welcome back. Hour two in the zone. Justin Akre, Pat Bradley, Wally Hall, Matty T, who just cleaned his brains off the ceiling and blew his mind before the end of the first hour. 132 guys have won one major and never won another one. I think that's amazing.
It lets you know how many talented guys are on the tour. B, that there is a lot of them who can win at any given moment. But also, it's it's a tournament style. Anybody can get hot at any time. Anybody, it's not like a seven-game series. You get hot, look out.
Well, the thing is, like in a tennis tournament too, we were talking about how you don't see a lot of just out of the blue guys.
Yeah.
Never win again. I mean,
very few of those big upsets.
Yeah, and if you do get an upset, it's typically still a top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. Maria Sharapova was a 7 seed at the French this year and won. So
how is she a 7 seed?
It's a 6-inch game. Golf is
the 6 inches is between your ears.
Yes.
This is true. Although I seem to hit it out of bounds just barely a lot, so by 6 inches or so. Rory McIlroy is the odds-on favorite this week, but again, the most likely guy to win, it's a 10-to-1 shot. So, I mean, you couldn't get odds like that on Nadal this week, I guarantee you.
Mm.
Adam Scott's 12-to-1. Phil Mickelson, 15-to-1. Jordan Spieth, Justin Rose, Matt Kuchar, Bubba Watson, all 20-to-1. Jason Day's 25-to-1. That's a name I keep hearing that might – and we keep waiting for Jason Day because he looks like he's going to win about 8 of them.
Can I bet on Bubba on Oakland anywhere?
No. It's unfortunate. You'll have to go to Vegas to do it, but it would be worth dropping a few bucks maybe for a 20-to-1 shot. So – I don't know. Putting is a key for sure, and they talk about how they're expecting to see multiple four putts this week.
And he's struggling anyway with his putting, isn't he?
I don't know. He just won Augusta not that long ago. I assume he's all right.
Can we not have our two golfers?
We can. We
haven't
done that in
a while. Do that.
That's fine.
I think we should do that. We got to do it by the end of the day,
I guess.
Okay.
What's the winner get? A high five?
The winner gets to
get me coffee. Landis, you're a winner. Come here, buddy.
Punch the loser in the stomach as hard as they can.
Ooh, I like this. Okay. BG.
I got a question for Wally.
Oh, my God. Have some pride for yourself.
Yes, sir.
And how long have you been covering Arkansas sports, sir?
Right at 40 years.
I don't like where this is going.
How long have you been listening to the radio show?
Oh, well, the reason why I ask is
it's a one-sided conversation.
Over the last 5 years, I've been looking at the high school baseball all-star team.
I know where this is going.
Yes. And how come there's not any minorities recruited by Babe Van Horn or any of the staff there at U of A? These kids can make the all-star team, but none of the in-state schools tend to either recruit them or they're not playing anywhere.
Sir, my answer to that would be you need to ask Dave Van Horn.
Okay.
He stands by his story.
I think Rick Schaefer answered that pretty well when I heard you ask
or
it
ask
to
Rick Schaefer.
And I think that he said that they had recruited some and have had some in
there,
the past.
You do not see a lot of black college baseball players. It's not very common.
Although Vanderbilt, I think like the first five
hitters
were black.
Huh. It is surprising. I mean, and we've talked there, that's been a long, you know, it's been an issue to the point where it's been addressed and there's a new program that's been put in place in the last 5 years.
Right.
I know Torrey Hunter's been involved in that and trying to get inner city kids to get involved in baseball because football and basketball has really taken the lion's share of the attention from young kids, regardless of where you live, you know. So
I know it's hard when you only get like a quarter scholarship, you know,
Here, the question would be, BG, is how many of those kids are going to play at Division I schools out of state? So the question becomes, how much talent is being developed in the state? And then at the same time, you wonder how many of those kids are being missed on by in-state.
And how many of them are two-sport athletes that choose the other sport?
Right.
At the end of the day, I feel pretty comfortable that Dave Van Horn has come along and he's mature enough to understand if a guy's going to help you win, doesn't matter what color he is.
Yeah.
He's a real forward thinker.
I'm not trying to make this a race thing. I was just wondering why.
It is remarkable that I cannot think of a high-profile black baseball player at the University of Arkansas in recent history, though.
That's what I'm saying, you know.
But I can't think of a high-profile black baseball player at any major university in recent years, to be honest with you. Maybe I'm
the Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, and the guy from South Carolina, you know that.
Oh, that's true. Jameis Winston. Good point, Wally. Thank you. He's the first guy in a long time.
The guy. Jeez.
And, you know, the guy from South Carolina.
There you go.
Bradley, I think his name, Johnny Bradley or something like that.
You're not sure. See, that tells me everything I need to know.
Exactly.
I'm in the same boat, though. I mean, look, Arkansas's baseball team was a little bit down this year by their standards. They still made the postseason, but I don't pay that close attention, honestly, when they're not highly competitive.
I'm with you.
I don't know where you find that statistic out, though.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Now
you got me curious, BG.
It's just something you don't see a lot of. I mean, again, and it's surprising because there's so many opportunities in baseball because there's so many levels you can make it at.
That's what I was saying, you know. If I had the choice and I was a baseball or football player, I'd probably choose football.
If I was an elite player, I would choose baseball because your longevity is much higher, potentially.
Very few people hit you, too.
Yeah, you almost never get tackled, and your concussion risk is high. It's not very high.
But if you're not good enough to get drafted out of high school and you go to college, they're not going to give you a full scholarship, so you're going to have to pay some of your way yourself.
And there's some kids that are, but, yeah.
Well, whereas football, you know, everything's paid for, basketball or whatever, but...
Sir, and isn't that the reason a lot of minorities have gotten away from baseball? Because
I think so. I mean, I think that's the reason, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know what I would do. If my kid could get a full ride...
I'm just glad we have him on the All-Arkansas team.
Well, here's my thing. If my kid could get a... Thanks for the call, BG. If my kid could get a full ride in football or a partial scholarship, let's say a 50% scholarship in baseball, I don't know that I wouldn't push him towards baseball. I mean, the risk of injury is so much less. It just depends. I mean, if he's an elite football player, which I think it's safe to say my kid's neither going to be an elite football nor baseball player, but still.
This isn't restricted to race, but if you're in an income level where you can't afford to help pay for, they've got to have a full scholarship to college, then you're probably going to push them towards football.
Oh, but
or
you
basketball.
Can take. I mean, I took out college. I had to pay
I think
for,
the full Pell Grant though is like
$5,500.
Yeah, it's $5,000 a semester, isn't it?
No, a year.
Well, it's just a year.
You can take out loans. I mean, people that say, we've had this discussion on the air so many times, like, well, you can't afford to go to college. Well, you can. You just have to take out loans.
Hey, they'll give you as much money as you want.
Yeah, exactly. They're happy for you to pay it back at 7%.
Like what?
7% for some of them.
Or whatever it is. Yeah, I mean, look, it took me several years. In fact, I'd been out of school. I got out of school in 97, and I didn't pay off my school loan until like 2006. It took me a while. I mean, but you just go defer, chip away, defer. I mean, you do what you can do, but I mean, that's an option. It's not ideal. I hope that I can pay for my kids, 100% of my kids' college, and it's not an issue. I plan to.
All right, it's going to be tough for me to figure out. I was going to try and find out how many black baseball players were in the SEC.
Okay.
It's going to be tough.
Can you Google search that?
It's going to be tough at all.
It's hard when you can't see color. Am I right, guys?
Well, pictures on the roster would help, actually.
I still wouldn't be able to tell. What is this guy?
How come there are no Latin players in the University of Arkansas either?
That's the real question.
Well, because they're in Latin America right now.
That's what's going to keep me up tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They go straight pro.
There are no Latin Americans in the Arkansas? Are you kidding me?
In the Arkansas, no.
In the Arkansas. The South Carolina, the Iraq. Jay.
I just wanted to chime in on that last call about the black players. Check UAPB.
I was just going to say, I got a note about that.
Check UAPB and ask why they're at a predominantly black college with 99% black, why their roster has so many whites.
Yes, Kevin Little Rock says on the Keithley Super's going to be left. I was watching the SWAC baseball tournament last year and was struck by the fact that the majority of the players for both teams were usually white or Hispanic. That is amazing.
Well, I mean,
that's remarkable. Come on, you're talking about a historically black college conference where you got a bunch of white and Hispanic players playing baseball.
I didn't realize. What did he say?
The SWAC. He was saying
he
UAPB.
He said the majority of UAPB?
Yes, this is what Kev said, and that's what he just said, UAPB. And this, I mean, that is a little.
I'm going to have to check the roster.
You know,
that
we
one.
Need to ask
that true?
Carlos James. Coach, if you're listening, please let us know. How many of your kids are white?
Listen, can I get pictures on the rosters? Can I get pictures?
I don't know.
This is one of those conversations. You just say the wrong sentence and you're...
No. Hey, Wally, we don't care, though. No. You can sit this one out.
Yeah.
We don't care.
We're not sensitive to this. I mean, this is not a racist or prejudice. It's merely... I'm as wowed by this as I am the fact that 132 guys have only won one major.
How about this?
I'm dumbfounded
by many things. How many plays do you think on the University of Arkansas baseball roster?
How many guys total are on the roster?
25.
It was
55.
Shut your face.
55.
Get out of here.
55.
They don't suit 55 guys, though.
55. I got it right here.
They don't suit 55 guys up.
And maybe they don't have all those uniforms, but they're on the roster.
That's a lot of walk-ons.
That is crazy. Yeah, well, hey, when you're giving partial scholarships to the good guys, the guys who are just okay don't expect anything. Kirk.
Yes, how we doing, Pat?
Oh, great, buddy. Thank you.
Good. Hey, you're talking about the African Americans in college baseball.
Yeah, you
are. You're talking about the 55 on the roster in Arkansas. That's a fall roster. That's not a spring roster. They cut that thing down to 35.
Duh.
Hey, they're on the website. On so, college. According to their mother, the mothers are going to say they're on the roster.
Yeah.
There you go. They are in the fall anyway, right?
Yeah.
So, you're talking about African Americans in college baseball. For instance, the last player in Arkansas that's been high profile is Kendrick Moore, which was back in 95, I want to say. He was all-time hit leader at Arkansas for a while. It's Kendrick Moore. That's the last African-American that's really done well at Arkansas in baseball. They
Who?
Had a guy in the early 2000s.
Kendrick Moore?
Isn't he a rapper?
What's that?
Kendrick? Is that Kendrick Lamar? I'm taking up?
Yeah. Okay. Kendrick Moore? Okay. Do you know where he's from?
Kendrick Moore. He's from Oklahoma. He lived over in Dallas.
That doesn't even count then. I need an Arkansan.
He's Torrey Hunter's next door neighbor. Right
now.
Well,
you know what? I bet if I move next door to Torrey, I could probably fill the ground ball pretty efficiently as well. He's just
probably
that good.
So.
He lives
probably
in a baseball
so.
Neighborhood.
Torrey, rub
huh?
right off on you. All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Ben.
All right, guys. Great job and great subject that you touched on today.
I just hung up on that guy.
No, he was done.
But it's not just a minority thing. I think it's a income thing. And one of the things I believe that is hurting baseball and even girls softball are the travel teams that are out now. The expense for kids at a young level is just so extreme to actually get them the repetitions that they actually need to have to be able to be at that level at the high school level. Because if you're just playing rec league, you're looking at maybe 12 to 18 games during the summer. Where if you're playing on a travel team, you're playing 100 games, you know, over the summer.
Yeah.
And the expense that is incurred in that just on the parents is ridiculous.
I got to say, though, I am dumbfounded by this whole travel thing. I have a brother who is a pretty good, like, you know, younger basketball player because, you know, as we, you know, Pat, we've all, in my family,
yeah.
we all grow to full height when we're seven. So he was a good player when he was younger. They would travel all over the country. They played in Virginia and Minnesota and Florida. And I'm like, I just... And I don't know what your thoughts are on this.
Yeah, I get a pretty good background on that.
Well, but my point is your travel versus what is common today are probably not the same. It is that whole industry has grown exponentially over the last 15 to 20 years. I'm not of the opinion, and I'm sure people will think I'm a total idiot. I am not of the opinion that you can't develop a kid who has the potential to play major Division I athletics by keeping him at home and putting him up against other kids. I just think he can get better, even if you're not traveling around and playing the elite of the elite all year long. The travel thing I have a real issue with. And I have friends whose kids travel and play baseball, football, basketball, whatever it is. I can't see doing that.
We traveled just as much 15, 20 years ago as they do now. What they have now, a lot more local tournaments. They'll be every weekend – You can travel out to Benton Bryant for some of just a local tournament.
Yeah.
But in terms of traveling state lines, we did that often, quite often.
What city were you in when Nolan discovered you?
Played at Wake Forest.
What if you're not in a major, you know, what if you're not in the Little Rock area?
Here's the deal. When you talk about, and you're right about that, the advantage of going and playing over state lines, these national tournaments, in my opinion, the greatest thing is for your kid to see just how talented the best of the best are. And then you come back and you say, and your eyes are open, you're like, wow, there is actually a kid who looks like this. He's this tall, this big, this strong. He can hit like this. He can throw like this. I got a lot of work to do to get up to where his thing. So to me, that's the advantage of playing these national tournaments, just to see how far advanced your competition is. Yes, you go back and you can work. And about raising money, I tell every kid this. And I still don't know why we used to do this. This is how we used to raise our money. First of all, we used to go cannon. We used to stand out in the middle of traffic and collect money. But we used to draw up a letter 50 of them. And I would go and pass them out to different businesses in the city. Some would give me $10. Some would give me 50. Some 100. At the end of the day, you got all your travel money right there based on people sponsoring.
How many weekends were you out of town in a year?
Out of town, I spent every summer there was a tournament. Out of town, like state lines, it was.
Where you would stay overnight? How often did you go out of town where you stayed overnight?
Probably two a month. And then there was a local one. Yeah.
So like six a summer?
Yeah. And then we had
two
where we went away for the whole week.
I just don't think I could justify that. I really couldn't either. I just couldn't justify that for my kid. Now, again, maybe if I had a kid who was an elite player, I would probably feel different about it.
Well, my parents didn't take me to all of them.
But the thing that gets me is the people that do that, Pat, with kids that are 8, 9, or 10 years old, and you have no freaking clue if this kid's going to be worth a crap or not. And, again, I want him to have the experience, and certainly I want him to get better. And I know some people would argue, well, if he's not playing the best competition in the whole country, he can't get better. I don't agree with that. I may be stupid. Maybe I'll feel different if my kid gets to be a good player when he's 10, but I don't
right now. But that's the thing. Justin, if your kid is one of the best players in his sport in the state by the age of 14, if he's like one of the best in the state by the age of 14, you will make sure that he's out there capitalizing on the fact that he is an elite and you want to give him as many opportunities. Yeah, at 8, 9, 10, 11, you don't know. It really is kind of a waste of time to go to so many of them. But by like 14, by the time he's in high school, if he's an elite, you owe it to him and to make sure that he gets what he needs to
that age. I'm saying if he's playing, again, and some people say, well, if you're playing even upper classification baseball or whatever the sport is in this state, maybe you're not getting what you could by doing the traveling.
And you would get excited about it as a parent if your kid is one of the elite. Think about it.
Yeah, but I'd rather have him work with a guy here who knows what it takes to get him to the next level and then let him play. And look, I'd rather if he dominates competition, somebody's going to give him a scholarship. And if he goes out and bats 650, somebody's going to give him a look.
No doubt.
Anyway, I don't know.
There's not too many secrets these days.
Jody.
I'm back here on speakerphone. I'm driving. But anyway, the problem is they don't get paid full rides in baseball like they do basketball, football. So if they can't afford college, they're probably not going to be there.
Again, like I said, you can get Pell Grants. You can take out a school loan. I don't know it kills me. People are like, it's like that Denver occurs to them. I don't get that. So,
hey, they make it work, man. I'm telling you. I was talking to the coach at CBC down in Conway. He doesn't have full scholarships. Kids take out loans. They get the Pell Grant.
Yeah, I don't know what percentage of players get a majority ride or partial. Well,
Justin only gets 12 full scholarships for the whole team.
What's that? 12 full for the whole team?
I got to split it up.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. My point is, you can either get a Pell Grant or you can take out school loans to get what you need to get to be there.
Yeah, and they talk about the coach helps them. They all know what the name of the game is.
Well, that's what I said. Anyway,
thanks. I mean, look, I know. I paid for my school. I took out loans. So I went through that.
Are you still paying for it?
Finally, I got done with it.
Did you?
Yeah. Greg.
Hey, where'd it go?
Hey, man.
What's up?
Hey, I kind of agree with you on the traveling. I mean, my son travels. It kills me financially. But he is one of the best in the state.
What sport?
Baseball.
How old is he?
10.
Okay. So what do you think you're getting by traveling that you can't get here?
It's a totally different level of competition, and I was just like you were, Justin. I didn't believe that he could not get it here, but there are you cannot. They very seldom are able to put together a cumulative team of talent that equals some of the other talent across the country.
So what and, I mean, what position does he play? Is he a pitcher? Does he?
He pitches and he's shortstop.
Yeah, I just.
And I mean,
I don't know how he can't get better. Yeah, I just don't understand why he can't get better working with a coach who's an elite,
coach. He's working with a coach, and then he's working with a coach 2 days a week, and then he plays every weekend, and that's his choice. I will never ask him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we went to Oklahoma this weekend. We left on Friday and got home Sunday night, and we will be in Springdale this weekend. And so it's almost every weekend. And Pat, to your point about the fundraising, imagine all these businesses that have all these kids coming in. They're getting hit from every direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, but $10. I mean, you ask 50 people for $10. I know
they got 50 kids asking for $10. That's a problem.
Do they?
Yeah, because I mean, you got so many different leagues, so many different
levels. Who else is doing that?
Well, you got 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 8-year-olds.
I gave one to Gino Covino's mother. Gave me $25.
Okay, that's different. But you said local business.
Businesses and people. Listen, I understand. I was fortunate to where, and like you, Greg, I would say do what you can to help your kid because it only happens once. And this could be a time in his life where you guys do what you got to do now, and he could see his dream and live his dream. However you can get to do it.
When he turns 14, he may say, this is not for me, but that's his choice. I'm going to give him the tools.
Oh, I'd strangle him if that was my kid.
Yeah. he's a good basketball player, too, and so he may make that choice. But
yeah, I just don't see it. But, yeah, I guess, Greg, I'd have to see something else to change my mind. But I appreciate the call. Thank you. Especially,
I was the same way. Thank
you. Especially in baseball, I don't get it. I really don't get it. I could see basketball. I could make an argument maybe. It's just hard for me to understand, and baseball is such an individual team sport. But I don't know. Here's a guy who knows a little bit about baseball. This is Carlos James, the head coach of UAPB Golden Lions.
Hello.
Hello, Coach.
Coach.
How you doing?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I am great.
The best shows we do are when we don't bring up a topic and someone else does and it leads to 74 calls. So two things. There's two issues we're working on now. One is youth traveling to get competition in baseball. And the other part is white athletes playing college baseball, white kids playing college baseball, even in a historically black university like UAPB or in the SWAC.
Right. Okay.
Is it, and we don't have numbers on this, we're just curious.
Okay.
Would you say that it is not necessarily predominantly white, but that there are a higher percentage of white athletes playing baseball versus basketball or football at UAPB? Is that a fair statement?
Playing baseball, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So what you've seen it. I mean, we've talked about it. We've had Tori on. We've talked about it with him as well. I mean, and again, there's been an effort to get kids involved in baseball, whether it's in the inner city or elsewhere. I mean, it's a sport that is losing out to football and basketball as far as athletes go, you know, nationwide. What can you explain it from your perspective as far as recruiting goes and the available number of athletes, regardless of race, and how you find them, where you find them, what kind of thing goes on as far as the recruiting part goes?
Okay. Well, first of all, let me clear this up. At UAPB, we recruit baseball players, you know, Division I baseball players. We don't care what color, where you're from, you know, it don't matter to us. But to answer your question, you know, a lot of people, I think it's a taboo type situation. They go, well, why, you know, at UAPB you don't have black players? Well, that's a question that has many answers. You know, one, you can start with the scholarship level. You know, we only got 4.9 scholarships. And, you know, the cost of tuition at the university is about $22,000 for out of state. Well, how many African-American kids can afford to pay? On average, my kids own probably $3,000, $3,500. Mm-hmm. So how many kids can, even with Pell, which is only $5,500, no matter how you slice it, that's full Pell, you still be outstanding. If I gave him $3,000, then he's got $8,000 toward $22,000. Well, how many black kids can afford to take out a loan, you know, for the other, $12,000 or $14,000? That's one. You know, that's one part of the answer. And then the other one, black players are playing baseball, but if you look at the major Division I schools, they're taking all the best baseball players. I mean, and with the draft, they're taking the other one. So what happens down at our level, we have to get the best kids we can to play Division I. And they so happen to be, you got more white kids now, more Caucasian kids or white kids that are playing baseball and Hispanic kids that are not getting drafted and are not nowadays getting picked up by, if you look at Ole Miss, you know, their shortstop is a black kid. Pepperdine, same thing. Vanderbilt starts 5 black kids. You know, so it's not that they're not playing. It's a twofold thing. The bigger schools are taking them. Major League Baseball are drafting them, and then we don't have enough money. I don't have enough money to lure kids that's African American to UAPB and give him $12,000 to $15,000 to come here and play.
Typically, how many kids do you have? And I know it probably varies year to year, but typically, how many kids, regardless of race, are UAPB quality that you can actually go get in a given year that are from within the border of the state?
Not many.
Okay.
To be honest with you, because UAPB, you know, is not looked at, hadn't been in the past, as a top quality Division I baseball program. You know, now we're finally making headway in the state to where we're getting kids to be interested in UAPB just in Pine Bluff.
Right.
So it comes with winning. It comes with facilities. It comes with, you know, how much backing you get. You know, and then the other thing I would add, too, and I'm not just saying it because of me. Right. I mean, look at your college baseball programs. How many black head coaches do you have?
I can't that think of too many.
That's
actually.
Right.
In baseball? Yeah, I don't know.
I can't think of it.
I mean, so when they made that big push in football and basketball in college, well, you start to get more black players playing the glamour positions in, say, football. When you start to have a black football head coach. And on the same thing mm-hmm. with basketball, you start to get more teams that have more superstar black athletes playing on that team because they have people there that look like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so but you can look at it in baseball.
I
mean, with the exception of Tony Gwynn, how many black Division I coaches that you have that are not at an HBCU?
I don't know that, but I know that you're my favorite, so I know that for sure. Let me ask you this.
That's all that counts.
That's exactly right. Coach, what's in-state tuition cost to go there, just for comparison's sake?
In-state tuition at UAPB is around $13,000 to $15,000.
Okay. So it ain't cheap regardless. Because I was talking about expensive. It's like I wasn't a college athlete, but I paid my own way. You know,
right.
I had to take out loans, and I had to pay them back, and it took me 12 years to pay it back.
Right.
I'm not embarrassed to say that, but I mean,
I'm still paying on mine.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of guys don't realize. I mean, and so, yeah, and baseball is a unique thing. What is the? Do you have any idea what the maximum is at the big schools as far as what kind of tuition they get? I mean, as far as scholarship level, rather like an Arkansas versus what you guys have for.
Okay, on average, most schools that participate, and I use this because I did the research, that participate in the regionals and the College World Series, we're talking about your top programs that are able to put money into baseball.
Right.
Most of their players are on anywhere from 45 to 65% of whatever the tuition in books and fees are.
Hmm.
You know, whereas that's a lot of money. I mean, you have to
sure.
think about a kid going to Vanderbilt, which is, let's say Stanford, is $56,000. Well, if that kid's on 65%, you know, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know,
I didn't go to Stanford, so I can't say exactly what that number is. But I know it's a lot.
Coach,
right.
have you ever put anybody on full scholarship, or you pretty much just break it
no.
up for everybody?
It'll never happen, ever. It'll never happen.
With 4.9, I'm guessing no.
What if there was some big-time superstar? What if there was a 6'8", 325-pound
How's that going to help him in baseball?
Pitcher.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right.
What if Torrey Hunter's clone shows up at your door one day?
Right. Guess what? 9 times out of 10, I can offer him a full ride, and he'd end up at Arkansas.
Yeah.
I like you, Coach. You're a realist. I respect that.
It is. I mean, you just got to know what the pecking order is.
Okay.
I'll never be able to get a kid like that.
Let me ask you one last thing before we let you go, and I appreciate you calling in.
All right.
How many of the kids that you do recruit
grew
up, or how many kids do you see out there? How much of an advantage do you think it is, or how important do you think it is for kids that are 10, 11, 12, 13 to be playing on these traveling teams, going around playing against what would be considered elite level competition
right.
for them versus playing, you know, in their little league in their backyard?
Well, my opinion on that travel baseball and local baseball is this. It comes down to coaching. The one thing I've seen with travel baseball is they play so many games, the kids don't get a chance to practice and learn the game. So I think that's the thing. So if you can get with a travel program that actually practices and teach the game, then it's fine. It's the same way with the local programs. If you can find somebody that can teach the game and teach the kid how to play the game, well, then the kid's going to get better. But you can have a lot of talent, and I run you out there every weekend, and you're not learning anything. It's going to only take you so far. Because once you get to my level at Division I, if you don't know how to play the game, then 9 times out of 10, it's going to pass you by.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes down to coaching.
I agree with that. And that was my point. I'd rather get my kid with an elite coach and maybe not have him on the road quite as much. And certainly from an expense standpoint, it'd be a lot less. Coach,
exactly.
we will let you go. I appreciate you calling in with some insight. We are talking to